Well, thank you so much, children, for leading us in worship this morning. That was glorious. I know that gave God lots of glory. Friends, the Lord be with you this morning.
And also with you.
Well, last year we learned that the Grinch has a new name. His name is COVID-19. But don't worry, we won't let him steal Christmas again this year or keep us from celebrating it in person. If you'd still like to join us online, that is fine, but we will be holding two services here this coming weekend, next weekend, and you can choose to come to one or the other, and we're doing this so everyone will have the chance to safely attend in person. Christmas is all about the Word made flesh, and so we want to celebrate it in the flesh here too, as much as possible in person. Still, me and of course, will wear masks as well and clothes. But today, let's take a look now at the last of our angel revelations and Advent transformations. We can't forget those shepherds, those certain poor shepherds, and their angels as well. So turn with me to Luke 2, verse 8, and let's try now to hear this story afresh, this often heard story, how the good news comes down to earth. Let's hear now the word of the Lord. Page 1593 in the Pew Bibles. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, a couple of years ago, Community Kids was doing their Christmas pageant here in the sanctuary. And I sat in the back pew over there, and I watched the drama unfold. Donnie was at the mic here reading the Christmas story and calling on groups of high-spirited kids in hastily donned costumes to come forward to the manger. And he tried to make their cues as obvious as he could. And there were shepherds! A dozen or so kids went charging forward. And behold, an angel appeared. Where's our angel? Shaniqua! Where's Shaniqua? Yes, Shaniqua, that's you. And so it went. But my favorite moment was when one of the shepherds grabbed the baby Jesus because she wanted to behold him herself. But Mary wasn't having none of that. No, she grabbed him back, stuffed him in the manger, squared off like a mama bear against those intruders. And the shepherds got way more vocal than I ever remember them being before. But I loved it. Every moment. And you know, I learned from it too. Because that's probably how Mary really felt when these shepherds barged in the door. And that shepherd girl, she was right too. This wasn't just Mary's baby, it was her baby too. A Savior has been born to you, for you and for all the people. The angel literally told these shepherds, "You'll find him wrapped in a manger, and that's how you'll know that he's yours." You see, if we could just unfamiliarize ourselves with this story a bit, we might realize that it's actually told to us from the shepherd's point of view. Far from silent bystanders, they're the first witnesses, the first broadcasters that God chooses. He gives them major roles. They watch and hear, they come and see, and then they go and tell the good news. The word angel means messenger, but it's the shepherds who keep bringing that message, who keep winging it all over the earth. But shepherds, why shepherds? Well, Pope Francis, Jorge Bergoglio, actually has a great answer for that in his commentary on Luke. He says shepherds were first to receive the good news because they were the last, among the last, the outcasts of this world. And the shepherds were first, he adds, because they were awake, keeping watch in the night and guarding their flocks as well. They watched and heard, and they were watched and heard. See, God's ways are not our ways. So when God sends his angels, he bypasses the rich and the powerful and the important, all the Caesars and Herods of this world, and he heads straight to the margins, to the last, the least, the down and out. And not only that, but he also passes by the chief priests and the teachers of the law and all the professional holy men and know-it-alls. And he sings to these unlearned shepherds, nobodies whom nobody thought much. Most historians agree that shepherds in Jesus' day had gone from hero to zero. They weren't romanticized or admired yet much at all. The general public saw them as ruffians and scruffians, scavengers, thieves, and low-class lowlives. Because, see, the shepherd in those days, you had to live outside, as Luke says, and you had to move from field to field to feed your flock. So local owners would often get suspicious of you as a stranger hanging around, and they'd like to blame their problems on you. Shepherds were easy targets, much as we might treat migrants here today. No, shepherding was hardly a dream job for Jewish children back then. It's what you do if you couldn't cut it in religious school. And if you couldn't hack it in a decent trade like that of a fisherman or of a carpenter. It was the bottom rung of the society. And it's hard to say what our modern equivalent would be, though many have pointed to temp workers or migrant workers or third shift delivery drivers or even seafarers and such. No one heard or saw them. Shepherds were voiceless, powerless. But it's to such as these that God entrusts his greatest message ever, the gospel. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests, the angels shout. And what I love about the shepherds is that they don't just sit there wallowing in fear and self-doubt when they hear that, we're not worthy. No, of course they're not worthy, but who is? Who could ever deserve this grace, this highest favor here from God? The gospel comes first to those who know they could never deserve it at all. Come and see, the angel bids them. A Savior has been born to you in Bethlehem, in town. This will be a sign to you. You'll find him wrapped in rags and lying in a manger, down at your level, not a palace. And isn't it remarkable that the shepherds then turn to each other and say, let's go, let's see this thing that has happened. They don't stop to doubt it like Zechariah and the others did, but they assume the truth of it even before they see the sign. They hurry off and they become the first evangelists of this newborn Christ. Come and see. But what a sign for them. No room in the inn. The shepherds could relate to that. They'd slept out in the fields. A manger, they understood. They were always making do. The sign the angels gave them here was perfect. Why? Because it spoke to them at their level. It said they mattered to God, even poor as they were. Caesar and his cronies couldn't care less about them. But this Messiah always would. The Lord of the universe was laid in a manger, an animal food trough. How absurd. Our Savior smelled like barn when he was just a few hours old. But see, that's just it. The angels and the shepherds here rejoice because this says there's nothing too mangy, nothing too marginal for God to restore. Not even our rotten, ruined, sin-sick world. John Stott says this. He says, other religions have grace, and we shouldn't pretend. We can't pretend that they don't. For instance, a majority of Muslims are peace-loving because their core teaching is that Allah is most merciful. So other religions have grace, but the one thing they don't have, the uniqueness of Christianity, Stackhouse says, the real uniqueness of our faith is grace incarnate in the lowest of the low. Oh, you can find ideas of an incarnation in a god like Krishna, but the news always gets broadcast first to the nobles, certainly not to shepherds, not to the untouchables, to the poor. That God would come down and live with such sinners and scoundrels, such lowlives, such nobodies, well, that's going too far, most people would say. But that's the miracle of Christmas, that when Yahweh came to save the world, he chose the lowest place. What a strange sign the angels point to here. The Messiah, the Lord, has been born. And here's how you'll know it, dear shepherds. Here's how you'll know he's one of yours. You'll find him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, laying down his life like a good shepherd already for the least of his own. He's come to count those who don't, the poor, the humble, and the ignored. And that should mean something to us, too, that no one is too messed up, too lost or broken, too far gone or unimportant. Where do we find Jesus from then on? Well, with the outcasts and the strangers of this world. That's where we'll still find him now, too. From God's perspective, there's nothing so strange about angels here serenading shepherds because, see, he loves them. He loves them all, great and small. And he'd raid our pigsties even to bring his lost ones back home. You know, I don't know where you're at this Christmas, but it strikes me the best way to show him we get this present is to invite others to come see it with us, to share his presence with someone whom others just ignore. The best way to show Jesus that we get why he came is to be incarnations of his love to others, to give of our time, our talents, our attention, wherever we find they are needed the most. Our mission as a church is just like these shepherds, actually, to experience and extend the deep welcome of Christ. You know, if we keep extending it like they did, well, we'll experience it again and again, refreshed and renewed in others' eyes. With the shepherds here, we're invited not only to watch and hear and to come and see, but finally to go and tell the good news. Real joy is found with all the people as they come to know Christ. So go and tell. The townspeople were amazed, Luke writes. What's got into these shepherds? People all over Bethlehem must have been confused and wondered. Never heard a shepherd preach a sermon before. Yeah, no, they're usually the last ones to be social or verbal, to share and talk. We love to make much of that verse that Mary treasured up all these things in her heart, but all what things? Well, the things the shepherds had told her, of course, the word of the angels, the story of the glory, the way they described her newborn son. She'd never forget those shepherds and how they'd known so much. It's the shepherds who carry the news from angels to manger, from manger to strangers, and all over town. Here they go, from voiceless to proclaiming, from mega fear to great joy. But see, that only happens when they take what they've heard and they've seen and they make it a gift for others also, something they've shared and told, when they've joined the chorus and dared to spread the good news. What could make our joy complete? Well, to go and to tell the good word that we have heard from the Lord, to go extend his welcome to the most unwelcome even in this world. Real joy can't be contained. It bursts from the angels, then it bursts from the shepherds here. And if we're willing to, it can burst from us too, till the glory of God fills every inch of this world. And with that said, I think we're almost ready to sing now our song of response, that old gospel spiritual, Go Tell It on the Mountain. But first, let me just tell you a little bit about the story behind that song. See, as a Negro spiritual, it was first composed orally by slaves around the campfire, probably. And they carried it then from one plantation to another, much like these shepherds did from field to field. Sometimes they'd even wake each other, we're told. They'd wake each other up to it on Christmas morn. But after slavery was ended, many historically black colleges didn't want to sing this song anymore. It was too painful and shameful, they thought, to sing those old slave songs, to sing them in the slaves' dialect and voice. I mean, white folk had run them down for that for ages and treated them like filthy shepherds or worse. So they avoided them. They didn't sing these gospel tunes. But then around the turn of the century, a man named John Wesley Work decided it was time they took pride in their parents' faith and courage. And he led a group called the Fisk Jubilee Singers to go tell it to New York City and then all over the world. And that choir, they actually managed to raise enough funds to save Fisk University, to save Fisk College from debt, to bail them out of debt. But more than that, they also proclaimed the gospel all over the world, proclaimed it in one of its most moving, really, forms. And so as we sing this song, think then of how God works and how he has always worked to free the oppressed, to liberate the poor. How God is there and how he's always been there for anyone who has been sidelined in this world. There's a reason Luke let the shepherds steal the show here. Why we as a community ought to let that happen more too. It's what Jesus wants. He said so right from his birth. Would you pray with me? Then we'll sing. Lord, we're all on a journey just like these shepherds, whether we see ourselves as lowly or we don't. We all must find our voice to go and tell your good, good news. In this worn out and weary world, help us still find joy, Lord, in the simple witness that you came down and joined our story so that we might live and find new life in yours. In Christ's name we pray this. All God's people say together.